Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. I recently had a very interesting interview with a man named Paul Buchbazen. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings.
Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. This is Jonathan Sattell, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now here's Paul Wilbur with The King is Coming.
Years have come and gone, still we wait. The promise of Messiah lives within our hearts. Our faith is strong, our souls anticipate. We cry out, let your kingdom come. We hear it all around us, Hosanna in the highest. Won't you send this desert?
The King is coming.
Lift your eyes, the gift of heaven.
The King is coming soon.
Oh, he's coming soon.
The King is coming.
Open up your heart, receive him.
The King is coming.
He's coming, coming.
Ooh.
Oh,
Winter song, we're marching on. Because your spirit is alive inside our hearts. When you return with fire in your eyes, we will watch you crack the eastern sky.
We will sing a new song, breaking of a new dawn. Jesus, won't you come and reign? Your voice and sing your praises to the King. Every nation, every tribe, the highest offering. There is nothing that can stop your kingdom reign. And all the world will say, behold, your King is coming. Behold, your King.
Your eyes, the gift of heaven. Even so, come, Yeshua, come.
Again, that was Paul Wilbur, and that's a really great song. So let me ask you, when the King comes, will you be ready? Will you be embarrassed by what you're doing or by what you're looking at? Or are you ready for Yeshua? Something to think about. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Here's Corey Keeler with Lev Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. This is Corey Keeler with Lev Shalom, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. This next song tells the story of a Jewish man that grew up to find his Jewish Messiah. And it's done in a comical way, but it's so good. And I don't think I'll ever get tired of this. Here's Morty Getz, A Jew Born Anew.
I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13. The greatest bar mitzvah that you've ever seen. The temple on the corner of Mayfield and Lee was filled with my friends and my family. All of them proud as proud could be, with catering far as the eye could see, complete with a chopped liver statue of me. But now they ask me how I could go so wrong, and why all of a sudden I'm singing this song. They say, son, you're deserting your fathers of old, so why don't you just come back to the fold? You're such a nice boy, or weren't you told that when you were born they broke the mold? So what do you need with this stuff you've been sold? But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to Yeshua, from a Jew who never knew ya could come to die for a show like I was, just so I could win the prize and be with my Messiah in the sky. They say on bar mitzvah day I became a man. I tried to live that way, done the best that I can, but I've been worried since way back when, 'cause I've never done anything great since then. And though I could live till 110 and never have need of a fountain pen, I might never succeed in the sight of men, and they won't let me get bar mitzvah again. But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to you, Yeshua, from this Jew who never knew ya could come to die for a real Shlomiel, one who couldn't tell you were the long-awaited Holy One of Israel. And all of you who don't know Yeshua, let me introduce him to ya. He's the blessed Messiah. He's the Lion of Judah. And he wants to do to ya. God what he did to me. Came to live in a schlep like I was, yep, it's true, on Christmas morn, the truest Jew that ever was born. So I sing a la 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 No lie, la lie, lie, la lie, lie, lie. Had you born anew, am I? Hey!
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Here's a really cool song from Barry and Batya Siegel. I actually played this on my very first broadcast in 1997. I really like it a lot. Kumi Ori, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Awesome sight. Lift your eyes and see coming from afar. Just take a look around you. What a joy shall fill your heart. Joy will fill your heart.
Here's Sarah Lieberman with A Great Exchange. Stay tuned for my interview with Paul Buchsbaum.
Your presence is all I need. Your spirit, God, to walk with me. I surrender at your feet. All I am, I give to you, my King.
For all of you, I give all.
Again, that was Sarah Lieberman, and next up, here's Ted Pierce with Zealous Over Zion.
Shalom, y'all. This is Ted Pierce coming from Texas. Don't change that dial. You are listening to my fabulous friend Ethel Chadwick on Bagels and Blessings. Tune in every week for the best in radio. Thank you.
And now here's my interview with Paul Buchsbazin. Paul Buchsbazin, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
It's good to be here, Ethel. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so excited that God keeps giving me new names, new ideas, new people to interview, and you know, you're it today.
Yeah. I guess we have a mutual friend, Diane. Is that right?
We do. She's my best friend. Yes, indeed. Aww. Oh, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, we were blessed to have Diane at a Seder at my house recently.
Oh, cool. Well,
yeah, she's great.
Oh, she sure is. Paul, let's talk a little bit about your background. How did you grow up and get involved in Messianic Judaism?
Well, I am a Jewish believer in Jesus and Yeshua, and I grew up basically going to church. I'm actually a fourth generation Jewish believer, which is a, kind of a rare thing. And in fact, my grandfather, Victor Buchs Bazin, started big organizations like the Friends of Israel. He wrote books for the Messianic, the modern Messianic movement. And he and his wife, Lydia, they were kind of important people in starting the modern Messianic Jewish movement in the United States, in this part of the world. They moved from England, and prior to that, I guess they moved from different places in Eastern Europe around World War II, and they escaped the Nazis. A lot of their relatives perished in the Holocaust, but God protected them, and they made it out. They actually wound up being instrumental in rescuing a lot of Jewish people from just war-torn places and persecution in Europe.
Wow. Well, growing up in a Messianic environment with a heritage like that, was there a time when you made your faith personal and made it your own? Because, you know, sometimes we grow up in the environment, our parents, our grandparents are believers, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are believers. So did there come a time when you made a personal decision to be a follower of Yeshua?
Yes. So I grew up in a lot of Baptist churches, and like I actually didn't have really barely any contact with my grandparents on my dad's side growing up, because my parents unfortunately wound up divorcing, and Victor Sr., my grandfather, he passed away when I was very young, like two or three.
Oh.
But still, I just did not have contact with that side of the family, because, you know, that's kind of one of the terrible things about divorce sometimes. God has kind of, it's like he started a work in my grandparents, and even in my generation, it feels like there are things that they started that God has given me to continue on with. And, you know, throughout the interview, maybe we can touch on some of those things. It's a pretty interesting story and how God connects the dots through someone's life. But I grew up going to Baptist church, and I believed in God, and I tried to, whatever, be good and stuff like that, but I didn't really have a personal relationship with Jesus in the way that I do now, and certainly I did after college, or during college. It was during college I met some real genuine believers who were students at the college that I was at, where I actually heard the gospel for the first time in how it actually is. So all of that time prior to that, I was kind of trying to white knuckle it and, you know, earn my salvation or just be good enough or something like that. And the gospel is actually quite different than that.
Oh, of course. Did you feel that there was a call on your life, and did your life change in any way when you finally made that full commitment to follow the Lord?
Oh, it changed tremendously, you know, in every way, actually. I was in college and quote unquote having fun up there doing what college students do, and these Christian friends of mine, who they were, you know, just wonderful people. They weren't judging me, but you know, they were kind of, I presented myself as, I guess, you know, being someone who had gone to church or whatever. But, you know, one of my friends, Dave, he said, "Well, then why are you involved in this, and this?" And it really, I guess, pricked my heart and made me realize, you know, this thing is not real and to me like it should be. And God started to work in my heart, and through these other people who were an example to me, I began realizing what genuine faith is. And when I understood that it's Jesus that has to clean me up, not my own efforts, everything changed. And of course, receiving the Holy Spirit and everything like that, that really made a huge impact on my life and changed everything from the inside out.
And have you ever had a chance to share the good news with anyone that's Jewish? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, lots of people. Yeah.
How did that go?
Very good. You know, it's, you know, I'm fine with, you know, sharing my testimony or what the Bible says, you know, using words. But there's also this great saying that says, you know, we should use our actions and use words if necessary. You know, we're called to be fishers of men, and a good fisherman doesn't yell at the fish because it scares them away. You have to understand how to, I think, be compelling and have a lifestyle that's kind of an example that people want to emulate. You know, have peace, be loving, be generous, you know, that kind of thing. And then the conversations kind of start naturally. But a lot of times if I, you know, go in guns a-blazing, just knocking people over the head with words, it's not, I don't know, a lot of times it turns people off from my experience.
I agree with you completely. It's kind of like that expression, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right?
I love that. I love that expression. That's very, very true thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that really is the essence of the gospel, that it's not just a set of propositions that we philosophically agree to. It's a relationship. And, you know, to have a relationship, it has to be voluntary. It has to be genuine. It can't just be, you know, accepting cognitively a set of propositions.
Absolutely. And I know this is probably going to go in the air in a couple of months, but right now we're at the last night of Passover. And I always felt like Passover was one of the greatest holidays that showed parallels between Yeshua and the Old Testament. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts about that.
Well, it's interesting because this sort of weaves together with my own personal story. So my grandfather, Victor Buxbaum, he wrote, as far as I know, the first book that kind of dealt into this subject, connecting the feasts of Israel with the gospel. And his book was called The Gospel and the Feasts of Israel. And since then, a lot of people have written really, really great works on that topic with a lot of insight. But it's interesting, like I said, you know, I was not connected growing up to my grandparents at all, yet I find myself, I'm 50 right now, and all throughout my adult years I've led seders, I find myself fascinated by this topic, and I feel like God's given me really great insight into some amazing kind of mysteries and just helpful insights to understand Passover and understand God quite a bit more. As I mentioned, I had Diane over and some of her family members at a family seder that we had at my house. And yeah, I go into a lot of those things.
Wow. Is there anything you'd like to share?
Yeah. There are a bunch of things. So it's Passover is interesting because, you know, it's the story of Israel and Egypt, right? But that's not all it is. It actually is almost like hyperlinked to all of these other stories in the Bible. So, you know, the Last Supper that Yeshua had with his disciples, he was celebrating Passover. And in the story of Yeshua coming to John the Immerser, John the Baptist, John the Baptist recognizes him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so when Jesus died on Passover, because the Last Supper was right before the Passover, he was fulfilling his role as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Then you rewind all the way back to Abraham and Isaac, and it's actually connected, kind of hyperlinked to that story too. So Abraham climbs Mount Moriah with Isaac, and God says, you know, we sacrifice your son, and Abraham's willing to do it. And, you know, that seems horrible to us and shocking to us now, but culturally, that was actually a very common pagan practice. And, you know, God had not instituted how different his way is. So he asks Abraham if he's willing to make that sacrifice. And then as Abraham has the knife over Isaac on Mount Moriah, God stops him through an angel and says, you don't have to do that. I will provide the lamb. And so there's a ram in the thicket at that location. Well, fast forward a couple thousand years, about 1,600 years, to Yeshua being crucified on Golgotha. It actually happens to be geographically the exact same place as the ancient site of Mount Moriah, a couple hundred yards away. And so literally God was providing the lamb right there geographically at the same site 1,600 years later.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's lots of stuff, you know. The according to Exodus, the land is supposed to be found to be without blemish. And so, you know, the trial that Yeshua went through, he was found to be not guilty, yet was crucified. And, you know, all of these different things that are characteristics of the Lamb were characteristics also of Yeshua. And throughout the Passover Seder, there are other symbolic rituals that are part of it. But one thing that I've gotten insight this year that is pretty amazing. So in Exodus 12, God is talking to Moses, okay, and he's telling Moses, you know, these are the things I want you to do for the Passover, so that the angel of death would pass over your house. And this is all happening. You know, you read through it, and you take the lamb, and you slaughter it, and you eat the whole lamb, and you sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and all these different kinds of things. But this is all happening before the actual events occur. And it hit me. I was like, well, what other holidays do you have, you know, where the prescription of how to celebrate it is given before the actual events occur? Like, wow. Think about that for a second.
Oh, yeah.
God said, these are the rituals that I want you to follow to celebrate this holiday, which actually hasn't occurred yet, but is about to occur. And then all of the events occur exactly as he said. But they're not just events for that moment. They're events for 1600 years later. They're events that even touch our lives now. I mean, it's really remarkable.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I'll have to have you on again in a year before Passover so that we can play this interview right during Passover. That's amazing. I also wondered if, since it's probably going to be closer to Shavuot when this does go on the air, I wondered, and this is really putting you on the spot, but do you have any thoughts about the parallels between the receiving of the law and the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, so the law was given on Mount Sinai, but then the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was given on that on the celebration of that holiday in the upper room. 40 days later, Yeshua told the disciples to go to the upper room and pray and wait for the Holy Spirit. And so there's this incredible parallel of the giving of the law versus the giving of the Spirit, and all of these different parallels that are consistently running through this final week of Passover are just absolutely amazing. So, like one tradition, for example, going back to Passover really quickly, that tells you the difference between an old covenant mindset and a new covenant mindset. In the traditions at Passover, there's a bowl of water that's passed around, and you're supposed to wash your hands. Okay? Well, at the Last Supper, Yeshua is celebrating of the Passover, his Seder, he doesn't do that. He takes a bowl of water, and he himself washes the feet of the disciple, putting a twist a slight twist to the ritual and imbuing it with different meaning for the new covenant, the way that the new covenant's going to be. So think about it this way. You know, when we wash our hands, it is an act of cleansing, and we are washing our hands. Kind of reminds me of my best efforts when I thought that I was following, you know, I was a Christian, but I really didn't have a relationship with God. But then Yeshua comes along, tells Peter, you know, let me wash your feet, your dirty, filthy, awful feet. And Peter is kind of, you know, he's like, no, master, I'm not worthy. Well, that's correct, but kind of the point. Master, they're too dirty. Well, that's correct also, kind of the point. What Yeshua, I believe, was trying to say was, from here on, the idea of being cleansed is not something that you can achieve on your own. You have to let me wash you. This is how it's going to be from now on. That's when my life changed. I think Peter's life was deeply affected by that, but I think Yeshua is really trying to say something deeply profound to everyone about how this new covenant is supposed to work. And it's a covenant that was prophesied in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, and other places too.
Amazing. You know, you kind of have an advantage because you grew up being familiar with the New Testament and for me, growing up in a traditional Jewish home, I didn't look at a New Testament till I was in my 20s, and I was shocked at the Jewishness of it all. And, you know, how wonderful that you had that heritage from the very beginning.
Yeah, it really is interesting. And, you know, it's sort of like, I guess all of us have sort of a puzzle that we're putting together. Maybe I had different pieces of the puzzle than you or someone else might have had, but God is awesome at sort of putting it all together. And, you know, so much insight. God reminds me of different things I've learned and different kind of frameworks that are within me, and hearkens them back. And I feel like he does that with all of us to make sure we're on the right path and we're connected to him.
Well, Paul, you seem like you have a real good ability to teach and even to preach. I'm wondering how's God using you today? Besides doing Passover Seders, do you get to teach a lot around the world?
Well, I'm actually a music teacher, so I work with elementary kids teaching general music. I love music, and I've been doing it for about 29 years teaching music in the public schools. So that's, you know, that's what I'm doing. But, you know, definitely those skills of being able to reach an audience, help them understand things that are even complex and bring them down to something relatable. Those are skills I guess I've been working on for quite a while. So, you know, when it comes to sharing something that God's put in my heart from the Bible, it's something that I'm very used to because, you know, 8 hours a day I'm talking to kids about stuff. So I'm glad that I've got that background.
Well, it is helpful that you have good communication skills.
That certainly does help because kids get bored easily.
Oh, yeah. Now, you mentioned music, and of course, that's my language. I'm a worship director, piano player, singer, and, well,
nice.
We won't mention guitar. Yeah, I play that once a year. But let's talk a little bit about music. Now, having not grown up necessarily in a Messianic congregation, are you familiar with Messianic music, and what do you think of it?
I am. For a number of years, I attended a Messianic congregation in Albany, the seat of Abraham. So I'm well acquainted with Messianic Judaism. Plus, when I was growing up, my aunt was part of Beth Yeshua in Philadelphia, and we would go down and visit, you know, several times a year. And you know, as they were one of the biggest congregations in the country at the time, I guess, maybe still are.
Oh yes.
And you know, they. Their congregants wrote most of the songs that are sort of in the Messianic Jewish canon. So, it's a pretty awesome tradition.
Okay, so you were in the thick of it, so it's not something that's unfamiliar to you.
No, and I went to several Messiah conferences and all of that growing up. But, you know, in my household, I went to Baptist churches and stuff like that. Growing up, I didn't go to a Messianic congregation where I lived in New York.
Well, you kind of have the best of both worlds.
Well, maybe. Maybe. It was just as it sort of unfolded to me. But I'm really, really grateful for the time that I spent at Seat of Abraham to get, you know, more into the Jewish roots of the faith, because it's really important. It's important for everyone. You know, these feasts, they are, God says that they're supposed to be eternal ordinances, everlasting ordinances for us to observe forever. And I believe that's all of us. And it's not, you know, kind of like a finger wagging, you know, obligation, you better or else mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's like they're eternally significant, and we can eternally benefit mm-hmm. from celebrating them. And God has some really, really big futuristic messages, actually, kind of wrapped up in the order of the feasts.
Sure.
So, you know, something that I feel very very strongly is beneficial for everybody.
Well, you know, Paul, I don't know what your plans are or what God's plans are for you, but I'll just say that I know a couple of congregations looking for a Messianic rabbi, and you just might fit the bill. I don't know if you've ever felt that God has called you in that direction. Do you have any idea what you're going to do when you grow up?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm 50 now. So
oh, you're so young. You're so young.
No, well, you know, I'm actually nearing retirement age so to speak, within the school system that I'm teaching. And I guess when you hit 30 years of service, you can do that. So I am looking at, you know, some extra time on my hands. I don't know that I want to be a congregational leader, but I do feel passionate about, you know, sharing what God has shown me to benefit people. And so I'm not sure exactly what form that will take. But, you know, God gives us these insights to benefit our lives and to share with others.
So I'm just thinking, like, you have all these great insights and ideas, and I'm wondering what God's going to do with them all. What would you say, how is he leading you today? Like, what would you say God is really doing in your life today?
Well, I'm sort of coming to the end of some kind of a chapter in my life and within the next couple years. And so God has me looking forward about building some things. And so there's some music things. I'm going to actually be starting a music podcast soon that I'm going to be building. And then also, you know, some of these biblical things, I feel like they're teachings that need to be shared wider. So I'm you know, kind of toying with some ideas and prayerfully considering some ideas about how to share them. Because, again, I just feel like they're beneficial to everybody.
Oh, yes, they are. So yeah. I guess that leads to my next question. How would you like us to be praying for you specifically? For you, your family, anything at all?
Oh, you know, God is so awesome. You know, our family always will need prayer and guidance because, you know, life is complicated. But I've got a lot of kids. I've got 6 kids. You know, I just pray for God to draw them to himself.
Mazel tov.
Throughout their life. Some of the kids are older, and I've got all the way going down to an 18-month, or I'm sorry, he's almost 2 years old. Next month, he's 2 years old. Little Joshy. So, yeah, you know, as a dad, I'm always thinking about my kids, and I love them, and I want them to know God in a very deep and personal way, you know, all throughout their life. So there's that, but, you know, definitely some guidance. I feel like God's given me a lot. I just want to be a good steward of what he's given me.
Amen. Well, may the Lord guide you, give you wisdom and discernment, and may he open doors that you should walk through and close doors that you should not walk through.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, this has been wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Any word of encouragement you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, you know, again, the feasts are very fresh in my mind. You know, to think that God said that all of these different things would happen in the time of Moses so that he could accomplish them in the time of Jesus, and they're connected to the story of Abraham, and they're connected, by the way, we didn't get to this, but to the Garden of Eden. Ooh. Like, the places where Jesus bled are not happenstance. And you know, when you put the blood on the doorposts of the house, what Jesus was carrying, part of what they did with crucifixion, was a doorpost. This is what the Romans had them carry. They would have them carry the mantle from a door in the house. So literally, Jesus was fulfilling so many of the different things from the Passover that happened a long time before. But God goes through, I say that to say this, God went through a lot of trouble to connect all of these dots, and all of these different books that prophesied Jesus were written by different human authors, but the eternal hand of God over all of it, linking it together, is undeniable and unquestionable. There is no other way that these events could all come together during the Passion Week of Yeshua. And so I take great encouragement from that, because God is a generational God to me. Like, he, you know, I did not have contact with my grandparents. It's not like I could sit there and talk with my grandfather and glean from him all that wisdom. He died when I was very young. Yet, God has me in some way furthering the work that he started with my grandfather. He's a generational God. He loves the heart that our grandparents and great-grandparents had when they, you know, became saved, or when they prayed for us, and God honors that. I would just encourage people, you know, God has a plan for your life, and if you submit yourself to God and follow him and ask him, what is it, you know, get curious about what God's plan is for your life, he will take you on the greatest adventure and greatest fulfilling journey you could ever imagine.
Amen. Well, this has been a very wonderful, inspiring interview. And Paul, I want to thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings.
It's been a pleasure, Ethel.
Well, we will talk again soon, I hope, but shalom for now.
Absolutely. Shalom to you too.
Well, that was certainly a fun interview with Paul Buxbazin. I hope you enjoyed it. And I want to thank you for listening to Bagels and Blessings. And I will say quickly that if you go to Olive Press Publishers, you will see that Mama Ethel's Guide to Love and Healthy Relationships has been published. Shalom.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayishmorecha Yager Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yes Adonai Panavalecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.